Okay, we're back again on Wednesdays to go through the Bible verse by verse.
And
we were in the book of Acts, chapter 6. And of course, we're looking at basically the events that are happening after Jesus was crucified and ascended to heaven. We're looking at the early New Testament local church. Let's start reading Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration.
و در آن ایام شاگردان چون شاگردان زیاد شدند یونانیان از عبرانیان شکایت بردند که بیوه زنان ایشان در خدمت روزانه بی‌بهره می‌مانند.
Now in the previous chapters we saw this is a growing church, to say the least. Of course, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 added to them. At the end of the chapter it says a daily people were added to this church. Then I believe it was chapter 4 when Peter was preaching. Another 5,000 were added. Yeah, so and here it says the number of the disciples was multiplied. So you now have a group of thousands
of
Christians, easily above 10,000.
10,000 Christians.
And I imagine this was a really exciting time, but also a chaotic time. Yeah, a lot of things happening, everything is new. And probably people doing their best to get everything done that needs to be done. But also some problems arise.
And
here we have a specific group that's not happy. Yeah, because their widows are neglected in the daily ministration. And most likely, I don't think there was evil intent, even though we don't know that. But it probably was simply being overwhelmed with everything going on. So the problem is raised. And in a moment we'll see that it's also dealt with. Now some will look at this verse and they will conclude from this verse, we need to take care of all the widows. Yeah, because here it talks about the widows and the daily administration. Now, first of all, let me remind you that we also need to be always need to be careful to build doctrine based on what people did. Yeah, because when the Bible says somebody does something, it doesn't mean it is also what God tells them to do. It's not necessarily right.
Yeah,
we always should take our doctrines from clear statements.
Yeah,
from things that the author actually states.
Yeah,
because the author was moved by the Holy Ghost to give us the very words of God. So let's start doing that with this as well. Let's look what the Bible says about taking care of widows. Go to 1 Timothy 5 and read verse 3. Yeah, where it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, notice that there's a distinction made between widows in general and those who are called widows indeed or those who are really considered to be widows. And in a moment we'll see what that means. Yeah, but already it says this group that is considered to be the true widows. We are to honor them. Yeah, and as we will see, this specifically points to women who become widows. Yeah, this is not pointing to men. And of course, the idea behind this. They said if a woman has lost her husband, she has also lost her main provider.
نیاز فراهم کننده اولیش رو از دست داده.
And if she would get into the situation because of this,
شرایطی قرار بگیره که به خاطر از دست دادن
that she was not able to take care of herself,
که دیگه نتونه مراقبت کنه از خودش و نیازش.
She should be looked after.
کلیسا باید مراقبش باشه.
Now we don't want to condemn a woman who has lost her husband to become a beggar on the street. Yeah, because there's nobody there to help them. Now, read verse 4 of 1 Timothy 5.
Yeah.
But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God.
اما اگر بیوه زنی فرزندان یا نواده ها دارد آموخته بشوند که خانه خود را با دینداری نگاه دارند و حقوق والدین خود را ادا کنند که این در حضور خدا نیکو و پسندیده است.
So where does the first responsibility lay for a widow?
بیوه کیه؟
And the answer is the immediate family.
بچه‌هاش.
Not the church.
نه کلیسا.
Yeah, taking care of widows is not a primary function of a church. The family is responsible for their own family.
Now,
read on. Verse 5. Now, she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusted in God, and continued in supplications and prayers night and day.
اما زنی که به راستی بیرو و بیکس است به خدا امیدوار است و در خواست‌ها و دعاها شبانه روز مشغول می باشد.
Yeah, so here we have this true widow, this widow indeed. This widow that is actually eligible to receive help from a church.
Yeah,
it says she is desolate.
تنهاست.
Yeah, meaning that she doesn't have anybody to take care of her.
یعنی کسی رو نداره که مراقبش باشه.
But then it says she is also a godly woman.
یک زن خدا ترس.
Yeah, she trusts in God. She is a Christian.
خدا اعتماد میکنه و ایمان داره.
And she is a Christian that is engaged in the things of God. She is praying. Now skip to verse 9 where it says some more things about this widow. Verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man.
بیوه زنی که کمتر از 60 ساله نباشد و یک شوهر کرده باشد باید نام او ثبت گردد.
Yeah, again, notice that it talks about a woman, a wife, not about a man. And that if she is to be considered to receive help, she also needs to be at least 60 years or older. And it also says she doesn't had to go through a couple of divorces before she married a husband that she became a widow of.
And
the one she stayed with till death do us part.
و در حقیقت با اون که فوت کرد تا مرگ باهاش بود یعنی چند تا قبلش داشته.
Yeah, so we're narrowing down the people who would be eligible to receive help.
کسی که میتونه کمک
کنه به
عنوان بیوه کمتر و کمتر.
Read verse 10.
آیه 10.
Which just continues. Well reported. Offer good works if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work.
که در اعمال سالم نیکنام باشد. اگر فرزندان را پرورده و غریبه ها را مهمانی نموده و پاهای مقدسین را شسته و ستم دیدگان را کمکی نموده و هر کار نیکو را پیروی کرده باشد.
Now again emphasizes that it should be a godly woman.
برمیگره و تاکید میکنه به این که این فرد باید خدا ترس باشه، خود پارسا باشه، خدا رو ایمان داشته باشه.
Yeah, she before she is considered to be taken care of by the church.
Yeah,
she is raised up her children.
بچه‌هاش رو باید بزرگ کنه.
Yeah, she is not out there making money and rejecting of
نرفته پول دراره، از طریق مختلف پول به دست بیاره.
Neglecting the children.
بچه‌هاشو ول کنه.
She's focused on her own family. She lodges strangers.
غریبه ها رو نگهداری کنه.
She's hospitable.
She
serves other Christians. She helps the afflicted.
Yeah.
She does a lot of good works.
خیلی کارهای بزرگی
انجام داده. This is the kind of widow.
این بیوه بیوه یکی.
Yeah, that when she turns 6, she's actually eligible to could help or receive help from the church if she would be in trouble. Yeah, it's just not any widow. Read on, verses 11 to 16. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged that that it may relieve them that are widows indeed.
اما بیوه‌های جوان‌تر از این را قبول مکن، زیرا که چون از مسیح سرکش شوند خواهان ازدواج می‌شوند، محکوم می‌شوند از اینکه ایمان نخست را دور انداختند و علاوه بر این خانه به خانه گردش کرده یاد می‌گیرند که بیکار باشند و نه فقط بیکار بلکه بیگودگو و فضول هم که حرف‌های ناشایسته می‌زنند. پس رأی من این است که زنان جوان ازدواج کنند و فرزندان بزایند و کدبانو شوند و دشمن را فرصت به بدگویی ندهند، زیرا که بعضی برگشتند به دنبال شیطان. اگر مرد یا زن مؤمن بیوه ها دارد، ایشان را کمک کند و بار بر کلیسا ننهد و آنانی که به راستی بیوه باشند کمک نماید.
Yeah, so the men in the family are first responsible to take care if there's any widows in their family. Yeah, they should not become a burden of the church. Yeah, because if they would become a burden of the church, the church wouldn't be able to take care of those who are widows indeed, those who actually qualify.
Yeah,
which is a very narrow group. And this also shows you that and church is not a humanitarian aid organization. And of course, yes, in some cases the church helps out in practical needs.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are out of luck.
But
primarily it help needs to come from the family or even from other Christians individually. Now, I don't know if in Acts 6 they understood this definition of a widow they should be helping. Now, what we do know is that this was a big group. Yeah, so even if these qualifications were applied, you would still have a lot of people who would qualify probably as being a widow indeed. Yeah, it's also not hard to see that in such a group, especially at the beginning, people were selling properties to help with the needs. Yeah, and now they're seeking this solution because some things went wrong. Now, read verse 2 in Acts chapter 6. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, is serving tables a bad thing? Of course, absolutely not. That's a good thing. Then there are priorities on what the apostles were supposed to be focusing. And of course, today we don't have apostles anymore. But today they would translate to the pastors of the church. His focus should be on the ministering of the word. Now, what's the solution they came up with? Read verse 3, 3 and 4. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
پس ای برادران، هفت نفر نیکنام و پر از روح القدس و حکمت را از میان خود انتخاب کنید تا ایشان را بر این کار بگمانیم. اما ما خود را به دعا و خدمت کلام پایین کنیم.
Now again, the solution they come up with
is
that they assign another group of people to take care of these daily tasks. Tasks that have become so burdensome that they were unable to do what they were supposed to be doing. And again, as a reminder, this is what they did. Yeah, we always need to verify if this is also what was right.
Now,
here we will see that this actually lines up with other verses in the Bible that indicate two specific roles or offices in the church. Yeah, because in 1 Timothy 3, we actually have qualifications for these two different offices. Yeah, where you have the main leader in the church, who's called the bishop,
or
the pastor, and there are those who assist the pastor with the day-to-day operation of the church. And these are called deacons. And in general, yeah, the purpose of the deacon is just to be a help to the pastor. So he can focus on ministering of the ministry of the word. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but preparing a sermon actually takes time. Preparing a Bible study actually takes time.
Yeah?
Now, let's look at these two offices for a moment. From clear statements. Go to 1 Timothy 3 and read verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desired the office of a bishop, he desired a good work.
این سخن امین است که اگر کسی منصب نظارت را بخواهد کار نیکو می‌طلبد.
Yeah, so this is the first role being mentioned. The office of a bishop.
منصب شماس.
Now the literal meaning of bishop is overseer.
شماس کسی که مراقبه.
And in the Bible we'll see this term interchangeably being used with either an elder or a pastor.
رهبر یا شماس. Now,
let me show you that. Go to 1 Timothy. Go to Titus 1.
Titus
5 to 7. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Yeah,
5-7. اگر کسی بی ملامت و شوهر یک زن باشد که فرزندان مؤمن دارد، برا از تهمت هرزگی و سرکشی. زیرا که اسخف می باید چون وکیل خدا بی ملامت باشد و خودره یا تون مزاج یا میگسار یا زننده یا تما سود و تما سود شرم‌آور نباشد.
Yeah, this is a pastoral letter from Paul to
Titus.
And he say, hey, you need to ordain elders in the local church. And then in the same breath, he is saying, oh, for a bishop must be blameless. Yeah, a bishop is an elder.
Now,
go to 1 Peter, chapter 5, and read verses 1 to 3. Where it says, the elders which are among you exhort, who am also an elder, I exhort who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock.
مشایخ را در میان شما نصیحت می کنم. من که نیز با شما شیخ هستم و شاهد بر رنج های مسیح و شریک در جلالی که آشکار خواهد شد. دعای خدا را که در میان شماست جوانی نمایید و نظارت آن را بکنید، نه به اجبار بلکه به رضامندی و نه برای منافع نامشروع، بلکه به رغبت و نه چنانکه به میراث خداوند خداوندی بکنید بلکه برای گله نموده باشید.
Yes, so Peter is referring to the elders here.
Petrus اشاره میکنه به شماسان و
رهبران. And one of the things they're supposed to be doing is feeding the flock.
یکی از چیزایی که باید انجام بدن غذا دادن روحانی به گله.
Yeah, the flock of God, like a shepherd does.
مثل شبانی که به اون گله غذا میده.
And of course, the pastor is an other word for shepherd.
به حقیقت یا کشیش کلیسا
شبان. Yeah, and of course, the feeding is, yeah, teaching spiritual of providing spiritual food, teaching the word of God. Go to Jeremiah 3:15
and stay
no, you're already gone anyway. After you go to 1 Timothy 5, but go to Jeremiah 3:15 and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
و به شما شبانانی موافق دل خود خواهم داد که شما را به معرفت و بصیرت خواهند چراند.
Yeah, so pastors are supposed, shepherds are supposed to feed the flock with knowledge and understanding.
شماسان باید
feeding you with the word of God.
کشیشان باید غذای خداوند کلام خداوند رو به اون گلشون.
That's the primary thing a pastor needs to be doing.
اصلی کشیش چیز شبان کلیسا چیز.
Yeah, giving them spiritual knowledge.
اطلاعات روحانی دادن.
Knowledge that will encourage people.
اطلاعاتی که همه رو تشویق کنه.
That will help people to live their lives in a way
that is pleasing to God. که نیکو باشه برای خداوند.
Yeah, give them knowledge and understanding.
اطلاعات و درکی رو بهمون بده.
That will prevent people from wasting or ruining their lives.
که زندگیشون رو از بین ببرن.
Yeah, so the elder, the pastor, the bishop,
رهبران.
Yeah, they're all pointing to the same person. In 1 Peter 5 verse 2 it also said, yeah, it mentions that they were to have oversight. Yeah? Linking it to being an overseer. He is the one that rules the church. Yeah, which again in 1 Timothy 5:17 it talks about. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine.
مشایخی که نیکو رهبری میکنند شایسته حرمت دوچندان میباشند به ویژه آنانی که در کلام و تعلیم زحمت میکشند.
Yeah, the elders rule over God's house.
خداوند.
Yeah, the church is not a free for all. Where everything goes.
هر کسی هر کاری دلش خواست نمیتونه باشه.
There's
a rule. رهبری وجود داره، قانونی وجود داره و نظمی وجود داره.
And the rules in the local church.
و کسی که رهبری میکنه تو کلیسای محلی.
Is the bishop, is the elder, is the pastor.
شماس رهبر یا شبان کلیساست.
And this is basically what initially the apostles were doing in this early New Testament church. Yeah. Later on we know that James became the actual pastor of this church in Jerusalem. And we see the apostles actually going out and doing what they were told to do, to start churches all over the place, to spread the gospel. And Paul of course instructs those who were out planting churches to put in place this biblical leadership with pastors and deacons.
Now,
let's look at the deacons for a moment. Go to 1 Timothy 3:10.
Yeah.
And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless.
اما باید اول ایشان آزموده شوند و چون بی‌عیب پیدا شدند کار خادمی را بکنند.
Yeah, this is the office of a deacon being mentioned.
کار خدمت کردن و شماس بودن.
And following here will be more qualifications.
و رهبرای دیگه‌ای که هستند.
And deacon is simply a servant.
شماس در حقیقت یک خادمه.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus was a servant leader. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Yeah, if you want to be a great servant,
oh,
sorry, if you want to be a great leader, start out to be a great servant.
Now,
read again Acts 6 verse 3. 3 and 4 actually. Acts 6, 3 and 4. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
پس ای برادران، هفت نفر نیکنام و پر از روح القدس و حکمت را از میان خود انتخاب کنید تا ایشان را به این کار بگمارید، اما ما خود را به دعا و خدمت کلام خواهیم سپرد.
Now, so they decide to put seven of those men over this business. Now you might say, why seven? Is it the goal that we need to have seven? And the answer, no. It is simply a very, very big group of people, a very big church. And needed several men to be able to deal with this. Yeah, it was so big that 12 apostles, being full time, were not able to handle these things on their own. So now they have seven extra men under the apostles, lighten that burden. Now, what kind of men were these seven? Now, it says they're a godly man. Men filled with the Holy Ghost.
آقایونی که پر از روح القدس
هستند. Men having an honest
آقایونی
report.
آقایونی که معروفیت خوب شهرت خوب
Men دارن. That could be trusted.
آقایونی که میشه بهشون اعتماد کرد.
Now, why do they need to be trusted?
چرا باید اعتماد کرد؟
Now, they had to handle the resources.
چیزهایی که تو تو حساب
They had to have integrity in the work they had to do.
باید کاری رو که انجام میدادن صادق میبودن.
They need to be wise to make good decisions. Yeah, dealing with matters that went on in the church. Yeah, which also meant they needed to study the word and know and understand God's wisdom. And of course, we're not going to read it, but in 1 Timothy 3, we find a lot of these qualifications.
Yeah,
qualifications that made them that are very much like the qualifications for an actual bishop or a pastor.
یا اسخف باید می‌داشت.
Yeah, because they're actually doing a lot of the same things as well.
که اونها هم خیلی از کارها رو انجام میدن که همون شماس قرار بود انجام بده.
And we can find this out from some of the names that we are given here.
از نام‌هایی که داده شده می‌تونیم به این نتیجه برسیم.
Go to read 5 and 6 from Acts 6.
اعمال رسولان فصل 6.
And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So we have this name being given here. And actually we recognize some of those names. We'll go into in a moment. And it says Stephen was a man full of faith. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now later on this chapter. Yeah, we'll see what kind of man this is. And then of course in chapter 8 of Acts. We'll read about Philip. Yeah, who was an evangelist. Who was preaching and teaching the gospel. A man who also knew how to expound the word of God.
Now,
let me contrast this what in general Christians believe a deacon is.
ایمان دارن معمولا میگن شماس چیکار است
yeah, in most churches
اکثر کلیسا میگن شماس
yeah, this is how کلیسا, this is what they do with deacons
کار شماس اینه
first of all it's not a full time job
اولا کار دائم نیست
yeah deacons are almost on board they have a normal job during the week
وسط هفته یه جلسه ای دارن که دوران جمع میشن برای کلیسا به عنوان شماس اینه کلیسا
yeah often there are many of them
اکثرا هم خیلی هاشون هستن یکی دو تا نیستن
They usually don't meet the biblical qualifications, not even close.
Yeah.
Usually they are men that are successful in business and they are being put in charge of the money of the church. But that kind of deacon does not exist in the Bible. In the Bible, it's a full-time job. They're basically paid by the church. They have a whole list of qualifications they need to meet before they actually are considered. An example we have are people like Stephen and Philip, godly people, filled with the Holy Spirit, actively sharing the gospel,
خداوند.
They can teach and preach.
میتونن موعظه کنن و درس بدن.
We're basically under pastors.
در حقیقت شب زیر نظر شبانان هستند. اون شبانان شبان بودجیت.
You might say, do we need deacons in this church?
آیا به این کلیسا شبان لازم داریم؟
The answer at the moment, no, we don't.
الان در حال حاضر نه.
And for the simple reason that
به خاطر اینکه
we are too small.
کوچیکیم.
Yeah, there's no need for help. In fact, it's not even a full-time pastor. Yeah, I have a secular job during the week.
Yeah,
to provide for my family.
Yeah,
this church is simply too small.
To have deacons.
Now, if we are 250 people in size, we might need a deacon.
And
of course, if we would be that size, we will choose a deacon based on the biblical qualifications.
Now,
go back to Acts 6, 3, 4, 7. Oh, did I read for 6? I didn't, I think.
No.
Oh, I forgot to read 6. Okay, read 6 and 7 then. Yeah. When they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith.
ایشان را در حضور رسولان برپا بداشتند و دعا کرده دست بر ایشان گذاشتند و کلام خدا پیشرفت نمود و شمار شاگردان در اورشلیم به شدت می‌افزود و گروهی عظیم از کاهنان مطیع ایمان شدند.
So as a result of them taking this decision,
نتیجه این تصمیم,
yeah, the word of God is increasing.
کلام خداوند پیشرفت نمود.
Yeah, which in turn results in the church further growing. And of course that's made possible because the apostles were able to focus on their primary task. Now they are relieved by the deacons who took care of daily administrations. Now we're getting a mention of Stephen. Yeah, one of the deacons. And we also will see now that it's more than serving tables that he was doing. 8-10. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake.
کلیکیه و آسیا برخواسته با استیفان مباحثه می کردن و با آن حکمت و روحی که او سخن می گفت یارای مقاومت نداشت.
Yeah, we see here that God does wonders and miracles through Stephen.
می‌بینیم که خداوند معجزات زیادی رو طبق استیفان انجام
داده. And that's why I believe he is one of the apostles.
یکی از رسولان.
Yeah, not one of the 12, of course.
نه یکی از 12 تا.
And now, of course, 11. We discussed that in chapter 2. I believe Paul will become the 12th in the next chapters.
But
if you remember, Jesus appointed more people. I believe Stephen was one of the 70.
70 apostles
that Jesus sent out in Luke 10.
Yeah,
but Stephen being appointed as a deacon in the church,
yeah,
being tasked with daily operational things, we also see that he is discussing the word of God with people from a certain synagogue. And you have all these leaders arguing and discussing and reasoning with Stephen. And Stephen just takes him to task. Yeah, he being led by the Spirit, he having God's wisdom. Yeah, they can't refute him. Yeah, go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 18 and 19. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, Take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak.
و در حضور فرمانروایان و پادشاهان شما را به خاطر من خواهند برد تا بر ایشان و بر امت ها شهادتی شود. اما چون شما را تسلیم کنند اندیشه مکنید که چگونه یا چه بگویید، زیرا در همان ساعت به شما عطا خواهد شد چه باید.
Yeah, so Stephen is speaking, yeah, and what he's speaking is of God. He's being led by God through the Spirit, and that's why they can't refute him.
Now,
I wanted to give this other example, which is an example from the end times, actually,
in a
period of persecution and tribulation. And it says that Christians will be put in front of governors and kings. And it says, hey, don't worry, yeah? Take no thought about what you have to say. Why not? Because God shall give you the words that you need to say.
Yeah,
he will help you.
خداوند به تو کمک خواهد
Now,
کرد.
You may have already experienced the Holy Spirit helping you to speak.
و شاید دقت کرده باشین که روح القدس کمکتون میکنه بعضی وقتا بگین چیزی رو.
Hopefully not because you're persecuted.
نه به خاطر اینکه شکنجه شدین، اما این زمانی خدا حرفی رو تو دهنتون
You have been witnessing.
حکمت میدی و خداوند کمکت میکنه.
Or you've been sharing about the things of God with other people.
در مورد کار خداوند و شهادت خداوند تو زندگیت حرف میزنی و خدا بهت قوت میده.
I've had many times.
خیلی وقتا تو زندگی
When people ask questions I was discussing about the things of God or during soul winning that certain verses just popped up in my mind at the right moment. It's the verse that will answer that question. Or people give an argument. This is what puts that argument down. The right scripture just pops up in your mind. Now, this is not you being a genius. This is the Holy Spirit helping you to remember the right scriptures. Yeah, you're led by the Spirit. God is helping you. He's giving you His wisdom. And sometimes it is when people ask questions that want to learn, when they want to understand, yeah, God is helping to bring truth to them. And also sometimes it's when people are hostile. Yeah, when they basically are trying to attack you. And of course, that's what here is the case with Stephen in Act 6. Now, they can't out-talk him, out-reason him. So what do they resort to? Read verse 11. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.
از چند نفر را بر این داشتند که بگویند این شخص را شنیدیم که به موسی و خدا سخن کفرآمیز میگفت.
So they're just trying to accuse Stephen.
تلاش میکنن.
They try to silence him by force.
تلاش میکنن که استیفان رو با اجبار خفش کنن.
Next week, God willing, we actually will see that they will actually silence Stephen.
استیفان رو خفه میکنن.
Yeah, only after he has preached a powerful sermon.
بعد از اینکه موزه خیلی بزرگی کرد استیفان رو میکشن.
And they're just organizing false witnesses.
اما تلاش میکردن شاهدای دروغی پیدا کنن.
Yeah, the same as they organized false witnesses against Jesus.
اما شاهد دروغی برای
Yeah, they couldn't out-reason and out-think Jesus either. Yeah, they just wanted to put things in his mouth that he never said. They could not win in the conversation, so they want to force him to stop. As they want to force Stephen to stop. Read verses 12 to 14. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and called him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us.
پس مردم و مشایخ و کاتبان را شورانیده بر سر وی ریخته و او را گرفتار کرده به شورا حاضر ساختند و شاهدین دروغین برپا داشته گفتند که این شخص از گفتن سخن کفرآمیز بر ضد این مکان مقدس و تورات دست بر نمی دارد زیرا او را شنیدیم که می گفت این عیسی ناصری این مکان را ویران خواهد کرد و رسومی را که موسی به ما سپرد تغییر خواهد
Now, of course, these are false witnesses. They are lying about what Stephen has actually said. Now, in regards to what they actually accuse Stephen for, what did Jesus really say about these things? Yeah, let's read two scriptures on that. Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18. Yeah, did Jesus say that he would destroy this place, referring to the temple? Did Jesus say that he shall change the custom, change the law, which was delivered from Moses? Now read 17 and 18 from Matthew 5.
Yeah.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
گمان مبرید که آمدم تا شریعت یا انبیا را باطل سازم. نیامدم تا باطل نمایم بلکه تا تکمیل کنم. زیرا هر آینه به شما میگویم تا آسمان و زمین زایل نشود، همزه یا نقطه ای از شریعت هرگز زایل نخواهد شد تا همه واقع شود.
Yeah, Jesus didn't come to destroy. He came to fulfill the law. Yeah, and of course we know that he fulfilled certain things. And that therefore, because we're in the New Testament, certain ceremonial things we are not doing. But the rest of the Old Testament law is still in effect. Yeah, we don't have Levites in a physical temple. But thou shalt not kill is still wrong. And marrying your sister is still wrong. Yeah. Now look what he says about destroying a temple. Go to John 2. John 2, 19 and 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and build thou rear it up in 3 days. But he spake of the temple of his body.
در عرصه 46 سال این معبد را بنا نمودند. آیا تو در 3 روز آن را برپا می کنی؟ اما او در باره معبد بدن سخن گفت.
Yeah, Jesus didn't say he would destroy the temple.
He was talking about his own body.
Yeah, so they're trying to just put words that are false in the mouth of Stephen. Something that would stick to him so they could accuse him.
Yeah, so they could silence him.
Yeah, they were evil, wicked people not interested in the truth. They can't refute him, so let's silence him. And of course, this is a common practice today as well. Yeah, if they cannot refute the truth, people will try to silence the truth. And unfortunately, in more places today, even in the West, you cannot speak the truth. They can't speak the truth, but they will actually come after you. They will fine you or put you in jail. Yeah, we're just talking before the service about
قبل از موعظه در مورد یه سری موضوعات صحبت می‌کردیم که اجازه حرف زدن نداره.
Talk about the sodomites.
بیاین در مورد سودومی‌ها صحبت کنیم. نفرین می‌کنه.
Now you can be fine. Now you can be put in jail.
متنفر از اونها می‌تونه بره زندان و بحث نفرت داشته.
Yeah, and this is becoming worse and worse in the West.
بدتر و بدتر داره میشه تو غرب که داریم زندگی میکنیم.
Nothing is new under the sun.
هیچ چیزی امروز زیر اون سر.
Read last verse in Acts 6.
جدید نیست. اعمال رسولان فصل 6 آخرین آیه رو بخونیم.
And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face, and it had been the face of an angel.
و همه کسانی که در مجلس حاضر بودند بر او چشم دوخته
Yeah, so they're looking all of them at Stephen. They know they can't refute him. They've lost that discussion. And it says they're looking at him, and it's if they are watching the face of an angel.
ولی وقتی همه صورت استیفان نگاه میکردن
I don't know had a glow around or something like that.
نمیدونم نوری در کنار استیفان بوده چی بوده.
But there was something special about him sitting there.
چیزی در مورد اون صورت استیفان که در جمع اونها بود.
And they knew
که مردم اطراف میدونن.
He was from God. He spoke for God.
از کلام خدا حرف میزد.
And probably convicting them in their souls.
در جانشون ها رو بیدار میکنه.
Now read also the first verse of chapter 7.
فصل 7 آیه 1 رو بخونید.
Then said the high priest, are these things so?
آنگاه کاهن اعظم گفت آیا این امور چنین است؟
And on next week we will actually going to look at the response that Stephen now is going to give
جواب میده به
on these accusations. And that basically is a sermon of Stephen we're going to look at. Yeah, being one of the deacons of that church, he was able to preach. So next week we're going to look at that sermon of Stephen. I don't know if we've come through it because it's 60 verses. But maybe we do it in two times. We'll see.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.